This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else. And then later,
final hour of Men and Woods on a Wednesday. Don't forget, you can join us this Friday morning at Dave & Buster's all day long with specials, watching college basketball. All the shows from The Fan are going to be out there live, and the doors will be open, I believe, when we start our show at 6 a.m. So join us on your way to work, or better yet, just take the day off. Watch hoops and have fun with us at Dave & Buster's this Friday. Before we do anything else, it's 9 o'clock. It is time to announce another name in our biggest fan contest. We're running out of final spots here to get into our grand prize drawing for 20 tickets for you and your friends for a night in our Odyssey suite at a Padres game later this season. Last chance here to register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. The next name I say will have 10 minutes to call us at 833-288-0973 to qualify for our drawing. And today's biggest fan is Fernando Sandoval from National City. Fernando Sandoval from National City, you're up. 833-288-0973. Good luck from everybody here at The Fan. So, Woods, earlier in the program, we talked about the final roster spots and whether or not the Padres can, talent-wise, afford to put, admittedly, a guy that we like, that we know everybody in the clubhouse likes, that Mike Schilt likes, Tyler Wade on this roster in 2025.
You know, this week has really been about, so far, and again, all of this is kind of speculation, which is what you do with 8 days before spring training and you know, a few days before final roster cuts and roster shaping. Kevin Acey wrote a piece earlier in the week that had us a bit flummoxed with, you know, a feeling that Yuli Gurriel is going to make this roster at 40 years old, rapidly in decline in his career. Jason Hayward is going to make the roster and be your starting left fielder. And, you know, Tyler Wade is going to make the bench as your utility guy. And, you know, the question has been posed, if that's the case, you know, are we a serious organization? And, look, I think it's a fair question. I really do. I think it's a fair question to ask. What I will say, though, it is pretty much par for the course in baseball a lot of the time. It just is. It just is. I'm not saying it's right because I don't think it is right. I think it is wrong. I think you do go with somebody with a better skill set, somebody with a little more youth, somebody with who has earned it. You know, that's the way that life goes, right? If I've earned it and I've beaten somebody out for position, that position should be mine, regardless of status, regardless of salary, regardless of options, regardless of anything else. But I've been around this game too much. I've followed this game too much to know that's not always how it works. It's not always merit-based. And, you know, we can argue whether that's right or wrong till the end of time, and we probably will, you know, but I just know how this game works, and I do know. Look, I also don't want to discount the value that Tyler Wade does bring to his teammates. I don't want to discount that. There is real value there. A lot of teams carry what could be considered dead weight on their team. Even the Los Angeles Dodgers have dead weight on their team. Chris Taylor is dead weight. He's dead weight. Austin Barnes is a decent backup catcher. Can't hit a lick, you know. But he does the job, you know, with the glove, I guess. But every single team has a guy you look at and go, you scratch your head and you go, there's no better option than this. In our case this year, at least in spring training, Ben, there are better options, I think.
Well, keep in mind, I mean, look at the last year's playoff rosters. Almost every team had a guy who was simply there to pinch run.
Yeah.
You know, just the fastest guy in their organization was there only as a pinch runner, because they knew over a short period of time, they didn't need everybody.
Correct.
Now, over a long season, you need more than 26 guys, which is why this is, again, somewhat of a silly discussion for most guys. Tirso Ornelas not making the opening day roster doesn't really matter in the least. He's there in the organization. You want him to perform well. You'll probably need him at some point, and you will call him up when you do. Even though it's not opening day, it's not a reflection on what you think of Tirso necessarily, that he's not there. The reason why this is a little more of a bigger issue is because there are guys the Padres can and will lose if they don't make the opening day roster. Tyler Wade could be lost, not guaranteed to be lost, but he doesn't have the option to send him down to the minor leagues.
You get the sense that if Alex Verdugo is sitting out there with no major league contract, Tyler Wade's probably going to pass through waivers.
I do sense that as well.
You get that sense.
But Oscar Gonzalez has an opt-out if he doesn't make the big league club. He's had a very impressive spring. Are you willing to risk that and try to send him to the minors? Talk him into, hey, be patient. We will need you at some point. He knows he's competing with Tirso for a promotion as well.
Yeah.
If I'm Oscar Gonzalez, I just had a huge spring. And the Padres say, we love you. We want you to go down to El Paso, keep hitting. You'll probably be back up. Could be in a day, could be in a week.
Could be in a month, yeah.
But I'm Oscar, and I go, well, what if I go to El Paso?
And I suck.
I have a bad week. And now you don't call me up, and now no one else is interested in me. I bet there are teams interested in me right now. I'm thinking I'm opting out and taking my chances with another team that needs an outfielder on their roster immediately.
Yep.
So I think you could lose him. And if you lose him in favor of Tyler Wade, I think that could be something you regret in the long run. You've got Jose Iglesias as a backup infielder. He can play all around the diamond. You can have Brandon Lockridge potentially as your fast pinch runner, outfield utility guy at the end of the roster. If I'm saving a spot for someone, I think Gavin Sheets is making this team. I kind of want to see Oscar Gonzalez.
I kind of do, too.
On the big league club
now. I kind of do, too, man. The barrels, the exit velo, all the things that are so attractive and that you just don't get with Tyler Wade. You know, the right-handed power bat that he can be, gap-to-gap power, like that's something that you look at and say,
and he's done it on the big league level.
Yeah, and he's done it on the big league level.
Now, did he disappear the last 2 years? Yes, but guys find it again. Like, I think Gavin Sheets may have found it again. As for the Yuli Gurriel discussion, I am. I'm skeptical.
Are you being swayed? Oh, I thought you were going to say you're starting to lean towards.
No, I'll give you both arguments here. I think you always want to try to cultivate your younger talent. You know, keep that pipeline going. Dream on some of the young guys. There's nothing to dream on as a fan with Yuli Gurriel.
Yeah.
His best possible season is simply a competent pinch hitting spot starter at first base, DH a little bit. You know, and bats somewhere probably in the 200s and contributes as a veteran should to a team like this. It's not that sexy what he could possibly bring you. You can dream on bigger things of guys that you haven't seen on the big league level because you just don't know. But the reality is older teams tend to be the better teams in baseball. I got a list here. I know it sounds like, why'd you want a bunch of old guys on your team? I have a list. It was just sent to me this morning. The oldest teams in Major League Baseball going into the season. Any idea who the oldest team in Major League Baseball is?
Dodgers.
The Los Angeles Dodgers. Average year, age, 31 years, 2 months, 26 days.
I feel like they often
days.
Are, aren't
yeah.
they?
Yeah.
Yeah. After that, in the top 10, you find Rangers, Cubs, Padres at number 4, Blue Jays, Phillies, Mets, Braves, Astros, Red Sox, Diamondbacks, Orioles.
This is good-ass teams.
Mean,
the Orioles are old?
They're the 12th oldest. I mean, we're getting down the list. You know who the youngest teams are? Marlins, Nationals, Cardinals, Athletics, Guardians, Rays. I mean, you know, it's not a guarantee that you're a good team if you're old, and it's not a guarantee you're a bad team if you're young, but That's a pretty clear separation.
Yeah.
Teams with veteran players, experienced players, tend to be the better teams in baseball. They're also the ones that are willing to spend more because older players are more expensive. You know, they're not young, controllable players. You got to spend for them. So those are the teams that tend to spend more on the rest of their roster. They have older players on the team.
I'm going to throw a first baseman's mitt at Oscar Gonzalez. This is what I'm going to do. Here you go. Guess what? Guess what position you're learning? You are going to play first base. And
tell him, Wash. It's easy.
Yeah, it's easy. It's incredibly hard.
anything worth having is.
Yeah, it's exactly right. I can teach you. It's easy. I'm throwing him a first baseman's mitt and saying, you're my right-handed, you know, platoon guy at first base. You're not going to platoon Luis Arraez.
Luis Arraez is going to be a good first baseman this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, or at least average defensively. Yep. He looked good in the playoffs last year. I'm okay with Arraez out there.
He really did pick it in the playoffs. He did. It was really weird. It was like it happens. Nick Castellanos turned into like the greatest right fielder of all time in that playoffs a couple years ago. It's a fly ball throughout the course of the season. But no, I'm going to throw him a first baseman's mitt. And yeah, man, look, the thing is we're getting all worked up. I've seen this argument by Padres fans too. They say, look, why are we going to essentially run the risk of throwing away games early in the season to see if guys like Hayward and Gurriel have anything in the tank? Now, there's no guarantee that they're going to throw away games, right? There's no guarantee. Guys could come out and play okay. For me, what it boils down to with this lineup, as it always does, I was talking to name drop. I'm about to name drop everybody.
Do it.
About to. I was just talking to Jake Peavy the other day. Oh, it's no big deal.
Nice.
Yep.
Like physically talking to him.
Yeah, on the phone.
Nice.
Called me.
He called you.
I almost soiled myself.
Wow.
I was talking to our buddy Travis on the phone about Little League. Go figure.
Evie, comma Jake.
And he.
Did you put Jake on hold? Hey,
no.
I gotta get through this other call.
This is wild, though. So I'm talking to Travis about Little League. Travis is in the middle of telling me a story. My phone rings. I'm like, who's this? I go, oh my God. I gotta go. He's like, whoa. I was like, Jake Peavy's calling me. He's never called me ever. But we're talking about some things. So he called me and we started talking about the Padres. And I said, give me your thoughts. And he essentially said, he goes, man, it's no different. Stars got to be stars. That's it. You know, Xander's got to play well. Manny's got to play well. Toddy's got to play well. Crony's got to play well. These guys got to hit. Arraez's got to play well. Like, we can't get all uptight and worried about our left fielder and whether it's Jason Hayward or Oscar Gonzalez. He's like, those guys at the top of the order, they're going to have to carry your team. Just like Mookie and Shohei and Freddie. Dodger fans aren't really worried right now about, hey, man, what's Andy Páez going to provide in center field? They're not. Mookie, Freddie, Shohei, right? Some order, some semblance of.
You want the bottom of your lineup to every once in a while come through 100%. And turn a loss into a win.
And there were games last year, the way that the Padres completely changed their offensive strategy, there were games last year that the bottom carried this team. I mean, carried this team. They had guys.
Well, it's because Jackson Merrill was down there.
Jackson Merrill's in the seven. Yeah, he's going to
be down there this
Higgy.
Year.
Correct. Yeah, Higgy. I mean, bro, they carried this team so many times. And, hey, guess what? You won 93 games. That's the mark of a good team. I think you know, you do get a little nervous. Like, man, does Jason Hayward have anything left in the tank? Does Yuli Gurriel have anything left in the tank? Hayward actually scares me a little more than Yuli because, as you just mentioned, you kind of foresee the role for Yuli as, like, maybe a pinch hitter, maybe a spot start here or there. Jason Hayward, they're talking about being your everyday left fielder.
Let me tell you, the last team that tried Jason Hayward as an everyday outfielder,
the Dodgers.
It didn't work out, and they cut him after 2 months. They went on to win the World
That's
Series.
True.
So,
that's true.
You know, it doesn't... Really, let's not get too worked up about even the first couple of months of the year.
No, I know. I just think it's imperative that this team, and Kevin Acey wrote a piece this morning in the UT about the how imperative it is, you know, that they get off to a hot start, a sense of urgency. You know, the it's early bit is kind of dead here in San Diego. It really is. You're not going to hear a lot.
They killed it last year pretty good.
You're not going to hear it. Well, I mean, they're 500 at the break, but, like, you know, it's got to be better than that this year, in my opinion. Don't you agree?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to have to rely on the best second half record in baseball.
In baseball. Exactly.
Not the way to go every season.
Not at all.
All right, we'll take a time out. We'll check traffic. Come back. Still have our Rindle Report headlines ahead of us and more going until 10 o'clock this morning. It's Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, my friends, it's Woodsy for Underdog. Time to make some entries on March College Basketball with Underdog. I also, like you, Ben, I made a really, kind of played with my heart last night and not my head, and did not win. But I did win $4.30 the night before. But you can win a lot more money on Underdog, one of the leading sports apps. You can play now in our state. All you do, daily fantasy, man. Choose whether somebody's going to go higher or lower on one of their stats, points, assists, rebounds, and more. Baseball kicking off in 8 days. I'll be all over it every single day. Going to have a blast. You can play with as little as a dollar to get everything right. You can win up to 1,000 times your money. Listen, download the Underdog app. Today, sign up now using the promo code WOODS to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus credits when you make your first deposit. Join in on the fun when you sign up with promo code WOODS. Claim your special offer today. Get up to $1,000 in bonus credits instantly upon first deposit. Must be 18 and over, 19 and over in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 and over in Colorado for some games, 21 and over in Massachusetts and Arizona. Present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Void where prohibited. Terms do apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. In New York, call the 24-7 HOPE line, 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369.
Really don't appreciate the revisionist history. Still getting the tweets this morning. Aztecs lost by 27. They didn't deserve to get into the tournament. If every team that loses in the NCAA tournament didn't deserve to get in, then every team doesn't deserve to get in except for one. This is not how it works.
It's over.
Not how it works.
It's all good. It's over. They retool, reshape, get back. Next year, it's all good. Be all right.
Is it the worst thing that I try to set realistic expectations for my teams?
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
People are so mad about that.
No, listen, let them get it off their chest.
I got called the Participation Trophy King this morning on social media.
I just got lightheaded myself. You're all right. It's okay. That was a tough one.
I think quietly, there's more fans like me. The loud ones tend to be more the opposite of me, a bit more demanding, but I can actually be okay with just a good season. Can't have the most excellent team every single year. That's just never how it's going to work.
It's March sadness for you right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was worried about you last night. Once you weren't,
you know, it's weird. I wasn't as worked up as I got half the regular season games.
Well, yeah, because it was over after
was
like 15
so
minutes.
I mean, it
man.
Was so it was over.
Yeah, you don't even get. You don't care.
I just move quickly on through sadness right into acceptance. I mean, the stages of grief.
It's actually the better way.
Fast as I have ever had at the end of a season.
It's
like boom, boom,
look,
boom, boom.
I'm telling you, it's the better way. It really is. It doesn't matter the sport you love. Doesn't matter the sport you're most passionate about. Getting bodied in the biggest game, if you're going to lose, is truly the better way.
Had they lost by two, I would have been going, Miles Bird, that play where you stole the ball and you had
booted
no
it.
One there and you could not
chuck the three.
And that was the difference.
I don't know that I agree.
I'd be pulling my hair out right now. I'm not saying
I would rather have the Padres get walked off in game five than 24 scoreless innings.
Well, that was a 2-0 game.
You want your team to have a chance right to the end, and you would rather have them play well than not play well.
But if you're going to lose.
Pain-wise, it actually is a lot easier to swallow
the
at the
dagger,
end of the day.
The last-second shot, you know, the one, the walk-off home run, up a run in the ninth, and they hit a two-run homer.
The worst would have been if they came back last night. Not from the beginning, they were neck and neck, you know, trading leads or whatever. You can lose those games.
Correct.
You're down damn near 40 points. If they were to, you know, down 30, come
cut
back.
To seven.
And get within a shot or two, like that would have really hurt.
Does it strike you? And I don't think Dutch was trying to make excuses, but is there any validity? San Diego State did not get to practice once.
Ben, come on.
Between finding out
stop.
Who they were playing. They did not. They literally had no practices in a gym.
This is why.
North Carolina did.
This is why you get roasted. This is why.
No, I'm just asking the question. Does it matter? Does that matter?
No.
that they didn't get a chance to practice because of how it went down.
Didn't North Carolina
had less time?
They had less time.
North Carolina practiced on Monday, and because they didn't have to go as far, so they had a full practice Monday morning. Put in their game plan for San Diego State.
Okay, San Diego State got 2 extra days because North Carolina played into their conference championship.
Right. But they didn't know they were playing North Carolina for those 2 extra days. It's not. You can't just dismiss it as potentially being impactful in the game. Now, Dutch said, "Hey, we thought we had a good game plan. Turns out we didn't." He said, "I thought our game plan was good.
It didn't work out at all
the way we thought it was going to work out.
I know less than nothing about quote unquote." Installing a game plan. Less than nothing. Less. You couldn't know less than I do about installing a game plan. I do know this. Whatever it was you installed was not good in the slightest.
I did feel long range threes,
chucking shots.
Yeah, offensively was ugly.
I think
what surprised me, though, was defensively. They gave up 47 in the first half. That's the most they had given up in a half all season long. And then they gave up 48 in the second half, which was the most they had given up in a half all season long. For a program that rests itself on defense, what happened? I don't think it was a lack of effort. They looked like they were running around hard, but they kept getting beaten because it looked like they didn't know what North Carolina was doing, that they hadn't prepared for the game, which is true. They admitted it. We did not get to prepare for this game, and it looked like it on the court.
It feels like you could have given them a week, though, and you still wouldn't have been prepared.
It's possible.
There
were so many times where the guy drove, and like he cut right between the guys. Yeah. Like what? Usually the Aztecs stopped those plays. What was different about that game? And I'm just pointing out the possibility that the lack of preparation did, in fact, defensively. I think offensively they were just bad. They were really never a good team.
Jocelyn says you're in mourning. You need to let it out. It's true. You got to get it out of your system. But, yeah, man, you know, excuses, practice, altitude.
I don't think they were overconfident.
I didn't see that either.
I don't think they didn't care. I think they wanted to play in that game. They wanted to win in that game. You only get one chance. For a lot of guys, you know, Jarrett Coleman Jones, your only chance. This is it. This is your one big stage. I think everyone took it seriously.
Yep.
They just didn't look prepared for the game.
Yeah.
And I'm only pointing out the fact that it's probably because they didn't prepare for the game.
It's also probably the fact that North Carolina played out of their minds.
That's also true.
Out of their minds.
Yeah, if that game was scheduled for Friday,
the way they played last night, no one's beating them. I do think
that a lot of San Diego State success, they rarely have, when they're going up against big-time teams, they rarely have the most talented players.
Right.
But they have a really good coach, a really good scheme. And they play really well together as a team. They're usually the more prepared team.
Adam,
when it just comes down to who's the most talented basketball players on the floor, though, it's not a good combination for San Diego State.
Adam said this. He nailed it. The Sharks in Vegas know what they were doing. We were panicking all afternoon because I locked in my Aztecs bet at 4, and the line went up, and the money line went up, way up, like closer to game time. What the hell do they know? And man, I mean, I lost my shirt on the Aztecs last
night. Rod said SDSU did not want to shoot the ball. It was the only the TV shoot the ball. Of course they didn't. Every time they shot it, it didn't even come close to going in the basket. No one wanted to shoot the basketball because they were all feeling like that would be a selfish thing for me to do. My shot's not going in. So let me try to get it to a teammate who then took it and goes, you know what? I'm not going to shoot this because my shot's not going in. I'm going to give it to someone else. And they just kept giving it around because none of them felt confident about their shot last night.
Yeah. No, and for good reason. It's some of the ugliest shooting I've seen. The shot selection was terrible. The way North Carolina played defense in the paint, too. They could not get a look. They just couldn't get a look. Everything was forced. Everything was ugly. And they also didn't have that guy that they could turn to say, hey, man, we need 30 from you. We need 25 from you. You know, last night nobody was making any buckets.
Last year you had that Jaden Ledee,
100%.
He would clear it out.
Clear it.
He would do whatever it took. He was going to take over the game offensively and defensively for you. But we just didn't have that.
Because
we thought Miles
beast.
Bird might be that guy.
Yep. Yeah, and they didn't have it.
I mean, the fall off that Miles Bird had pretty much from like conference season
to
starting
now,
to
tough,
now
dude.
Was really
because I love that kid. I love him too. I love him.
Now love the energy that he brings. But
what'll happen for UCSD? I've seen them play a bunch this year. I think they're a terrific team and one that absolutely can pull off an upset in the NCAA tournament. But when they go up against 2 7-footers for Michigan, you know, they're big guys. Is it going to be an overmatched situation like it was with San Diego State against North Carolina? Or, you know, with 4 days to prepare, will they have a game plan that offsets that? And it'll come down to, like most games, who's making their shots, who's executing, you know, when in the clutch, who doesn't turn the ball over. No one turns it over less and forces more turnovers in the country than UCSD. That's a recipe for success.
Sure.
Good shooting, three-point team. I mean, those are the things that make you win games in March.
Also, though, it's March, and, like, that's the real deal. Like, this is the biggest game, obviously, that they've played ever. So this is a whole different ball game. Michigan, Ben, a little more seasoned, I would imagine, than UCSD. So I'm fully.
I mean, NCAA wise, way more.
Yep.
In terms of play, the UCSD guys have played basketball. They're all seniors.
Yep,
they
good.
All started at their D2 teams for years. They have 6 guys who have over 1,000 points in their career.
It's nuts.
There's no team in basketball, in college basketball, that has more playing experience than UCSD.
How about
does.
Tourney experience?
But
none.
Tourney, none.
None.
None at all.
Yep. So it's totally different ballgame.
Right, we will come back. Paulie's got some Rival reports, including one of my personal favorite little side stories of the year.
This is a little balm for your wound.
It is.
This is a little salve.
I was happy to see it this morning. We will get to that coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG-000466. For a full list of games and rules played at 7 Mile Casino, visit 7milecasino.com.
7 Mile Casino would like you to know that if you are a high-stakes card player, that they will cater to your particular brand of action at 7 Mile Casino.
I wouldn't say I'm high-stakes. I'm like mid-stakes.
You're pretty low stakes.
I'm low stakes?
I think.
You think?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know exactly what they consider high stakes.
I don't
stakes,
either, really.
But
yeah, probably low, which is fine.
Mid. Maybe mid. I don't know.
I'm the definition of mid.
I'm definitely low.
Yes. Mr. $5 hand himself. Go play California-style blackjack, pie gal poker, baccarat, or Texas Hold'em. Great card room. It's more than a card room. It's a great place to go. It's so close to downtown, just 7 minutes away. And, yeah, man, they'll take good care of you. Smoke-free environment. All the good stuff.
Guess what? You know what? Even if you are a low-stakes player, they'll take good care of you.
That's true.
Let's be honest. I have a great time at 7 Mile Casino. I love everything about it, including the restaurant at Sammy's. The 24/7 players menu is terrific. Get the Kung Pao Chicken on my personal recommendation. I think it's the best one version I've ever tasted of it. You can get it any time of day at 7 Mile Casino. Enjoy it. Tell them Woods and Ben sent you at 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown. Don't forget, you can join us at Dave and Buster's this Friday morning starting at 6 a.m. In fact, the Fan will be broadcasting live all day long down there in Mission Valley, 2931 Camino del Rio North. Tons of giveaways, competitions on the Papa Shot basketball, drink specials, food specials, a breakfast burrito station. Just be there at opening, 6 a.m. We'll be there broadcasting live. We'd love to see you out there as well.
I can't wait for the breakfast burrito station myself.
Solid addition.
I'm going to get after it. Do we have to roll our own burritos?
I don't know.
I don't think I could do it.
How would you,
you
roll,
know how
a
to
burrito?
Roll a burrito?
Uh-uh. Do you?
You fold the sides in first.
Well, I could do it, but it's going to look
tightly.
Like,
then you tightly turn, and then
I still think I could do it well.
Tuck it in at the bottom.
I can make a little taco.
It's the worst when you have a badly rolled burrito. And
yeah, that's what
you
I'm
take
saying.
A bite and it comes out the bottom.
Mine will not be good. Mine will not. It won't be. Zachary says you're not a real San Diegan unless you can roll a proper burrito. I eat them. I don't roll them. I mean, I don't make them at home. You know, I make tacos at home, but I don't make burritos at home. Do you make burritos at
you
home?
You made like a breakfast burrito or
no? No. I make breakfast tacos at home all the time.
Yeah, I've made burritos at home.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
New for me. All right, maybe I'll try one. I just know it's not going to be good. I know it's going to spill out all over the side.
You don't. I think for especially an amateur burrito filler, don't overfill it.
That's going to be my problem.
When you try to load too much stuff into it, the degree of difficulty goes up quite a bit. But if you keep it a modest amount of fillings and you have plenty of tortilla, well, you should be fine.
Rod says, I roll my burritos like my joints. Not kidding.
Ganja, a.k.a. cannabis.
Very thin. I could never roll one of those either. Never.
How does that work? So you just take like loose cannabis?
Yes. Yes, Ben, loose.
I've never done this, obviously.
Loose cannabis.
And then you just... And then
I want loose cannabis on a shirt more than anything. Loose cannabis. Save it, Paulie. That's
what they call
that's
it.
That's a banger,
like,
dude.
Loose leaf tea. Like, have you ever had a tea instead of in tea bags?
I know what it
you
is.
You have to put it into like a tea strainer, and then you drop the little metal thing into your cup, and then you make tea with it. Is that how you do it with cannabis as well?
Stop saying cannabis!
I don't even know where to start.
Paulie, do you know how to do it?
Kind of. Not great.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it on TV where they like lick
the
paper.
They do it quick, man.
Is there sticky stuff
on the
paper?
Yeah, there's like a glue on the top of the... I tried to roll...
So it's like an envelope. Like a letter. It's got a
little... like envelope
grinder.
But then it gets... You can't lick... Like, it's very thin. You have to... And then, if you don't want it all wet and stuff, I can't deny this. I told you about my phases that I got in. Scotch woods, wine woods. These are real phases. I got into for a moment, roll your own cigarettes woods.
Roll your own loose leaf tobacco.
You want to talk about an absolute train wreck. Just loose and wet. Big flame, like it would spark up real big at the front.
Or it's fire.
I was like, oh, this is so good. Look at me. I'm a real cowboy.
And then you're so invested. Even if it's crap, you're going to say
smoking.
It was great.
Yeah. That's so stupid. Lasted about 3 days, dude. Rolling my own cigarettes. We should do a contest to see who can roll.
I don't think I can do any. It's so small. I have to be a surgeon to
you're
do
really,
that.
Yeah, big
loose
ass.
Cannabis. Yes.
Say it again, clean.
Loose cannabis.
Yes. Say it again, clean, Ben.
Loose cannabis.
Perfect. One more time.
Loose cannabis.
No, just say it normal.
Loose cannabis.
Say it like you said it before.
Loose cannabis.
I stepped all over it, damn it. Because I didn't think for a moment my co-host would say loose cannabis on the
loose
air.
Cannabis?
Oh, God. Apparently I'm a moron because I can't roll my own burrito. I've never made a homemade burrito, ever. Never once have
Not
I made
really.
A homemade
burrito. That's
Is that weird? Yeah, I've made tacos, I made quesadillas, but I've never made a homemade burrito.
You need an open fold to eat your Mexican food somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the fold myself. All right, Paulie, take it away.
Traffic and then our Randall report.
That's great.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Randall Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Randall Report with Paul Randall.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Randall Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a yeah? Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'm still crying laughing. Somebody said hot beef and loose cannabis. The recipe.
Loose cannabis?
The recipe for any good night.
Yeah, that's you'll hear that next year's, our seventh annual tournament drops.
100%, please. Well, I mean,
voting is still going on
still
in the
going.
Final four, but we've already added...
Loose cannabis?
And then we had this one from earlier.
Ohtani cranks one out.
I mean, that's a banner
Come
day.
Come on.
Yeah, it's a banner day.
All right, we will get started here. It is the Rind Report brought to you by the Kraft Taco. Whether you're craving tacos for lunch or a craft beer for happy hour, the Kraft Taco is the answer. Now open in Balboa Park and Sereno Valley. Can't remember if they have burritos as well. I think it's just tacos, but I bet they would teach you how to roll a burrito.
Yeah. I mean, I know how to make a good taco. I make a really good taco.
They have burritos.
I like that it's already just right there for you. And you just fill in the thing and I just can eat it and go. People are screaming at me. You've never had a wrap before? I'm like, yeah, of course I've had a wrap.
It's kind of a...
Of course I have. Well, I've had it. I eat burritos by the truckload, Paulie. I've never turned down... I've never once turned down a burrito in any set. I don't have... I'm not anti-burrito. I love burrito. My favorite part about living here.
You're just not a DIYer.
I just don't make them at home. Maybe I should. Or maybe I shouldn't. Go ahead.
All right, we'll get started. You sent this over to me this morning.
Ooh, this is spicy.
And this was so spicy. Some Dodgers drama.
Oh.
It was so spicy that apparently local radio up in L.A. actually talked about the Dodgers.
Wow. That is insane.
They actually talked about this. So this was from, it looks like a Facebook post.
Yep. Or, yeah, Facebook, yeah.
To official Dodgers Nation. And this woman, Carrie Thornton, says, I'm posting here so all Dodger fans are aware. We traveled all the way from the U.S. to Tokyo for the Dodgers Tokyo Series. Excited to be part of the experience. We spent over $600 on tickets for the watch parties hosted by Pantone 294, expecting a well-organized event. So not even...
To the game.
The tickets to the game.
We're talking about practice,
going
man.
All the way to Japan to watch the game on
now, they
TV.
Might have had, maybe they had tickets. This was a pregame party. I don't know.
No.
But they said watch party. Mm-hmm. So sounds like they went all the way to Japan just to watch the game on television in Japan. Now, this was one of the hardest tickets. There was like no secondary market tickets
at
all.
They don't do resale tickets there.
And like, the ones that they were like thousands of dollars.
I don't think they can do it for a profit.
I mean, it was impossible to find tickets to this game, these games.
She goes on, said there was no organization. Instead, it was a complete disaster. There was no organization, no seating, and even the standing room was overcrowded to the point where there was nowhere to stand. Frustrated, we left and ended up watching the game at a restaurant for free.
Could have done that in L.A.
Could have. After looking into it, it seems the owners of the group... The owner of the group, Alex, this one guy, runs the fan supporter group, was at the game behind home plate, which is likely where our money went.
Do you own a fan group? Who owns, like, the Madres?
I don't know. So they probably have, like, a chairman, though.
I don't know. I guess the owner.
Chairperson.
Okay.
It's incredibly disappointing to see Dodgers fans taken advantage of, and from what we've learned, this isn't the first time. I want my money back. And will no longer support this group.
Yeah, they I guess they talked about it, like Paulie said, on local radio, and Dodger fans incensed. It's funny, man, when I got the hate mail sent to my home, the ransom-style hate mail, it was tagged with Pantone 294. Now, if there's one group of fans that's dumb enough to sign their ransom notes, it's them. And it could have been a false flag, you know, somebody else doing it, but putting the Pantone 294 on there. But it sounds like this is kind of right up their alley. Somebody else sent this to me. A Dodger fan said, oh, dude, this is nothing. When they tried to profit off Kobe's death, they dropped new merch 2 days later.
Oh.
And this was their response to the blowback. Ready for this? Why do we need to put our life and business at a standstill just because Kobe died? People are acting like their mama died. I didn't know him. He did nothing for me. I owe him nothing. Hashtag sorry, not sorry. Apparently, too, there was an incident where they scammed some people out of some money. They saw the owner in Texas in the same seats, like behind home plate with two, they said, there's a quote, two busty women that won the contest. Not a lot of remorse from these people. Stealing from their own fan base is pretty...
Now, we did a watch party for the Korea Games last year.
Yeah, free.
And, yeah, it was free, but there was definitely... It was crowded.
It was crowded.
There wasn't a lot of standing or seating left at 7 Mile Casino. There wasn't any parking left.
Yeah.
Do you feel bad that we... Did we con the Tier 1s?
Not even a little.
Because we didn't make them pay for it.
No, not a con at all.
We made our fan viewing party free. Because why wouldn't it be?
Yeah, I mean, you're coming to Dave and Buster's on Friday. I'm not charging you $10 to get in so that I can take a couple busty women with me to the opening series against the Braves. Hannah's like, what are you doing? I scored these seats.
It's not a hosted event, you know. Yeah. You just show up and watch the game. No one forced you to buy these tickets to watch the game that's on television for free.
Yeah. Yeah. But, again... You know, this is what they've been doing for a while, it sounds like. Shady, man. Man, when local radio's calling you out. Local, I mean up there.
Right.
It's pretty sketchy.
We'll move on. Ben, you've been very sad, very angry all morning. The results of yesterday's basketball game, so I thought this might cheer you up. We are, what, about a It's March 19th. We're about a month out from the Masters.
3 weeks.
3 weeks from the Masters. And it is Masters tradition that the previous year's winner gets to host a dinner and select the menu for the Masters dinner. We talk about it every year.
I love it.
And Scottie Scheffler's menu has been posted. Throw it up here for everybody to
I haven't seen it.
Along.
Can I guess?
Sure.
Just based on his personality.
Sure.
Milk.
Yes, they're actually... Well, I mean, it probably goes with the chocolate chip cookie for dessert, but yeah.
Of course,
we'll start with the appetizers.
Yeah.
This is going to go to 8th Masters Club dinner. Appetizers, you'll have cheeseburger sliders served Scotty style. No idea what that means.
Probably plain.
Yeah, plain. Plain and dry.
Right. Well, at least there's a cheese. It's not a burger. It's a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Cheeseburger. Firecracker shrimp.
American cheese.
Sweet Thai chili and sriracha mayo.
Yeah, that's
fried shrimp.
Spicy for him.
Papa Chef's meatball and ravioli bites. Pecorino cheese, tomato basil sauce.
So here's the irony here. Remember why Scottie Scheffler missed the first month of the season. He was making his own ravioli and cut his hand trying to cut the ravioli, and that's why he was out for a month.
That's right. That's right.
So he's
added I didn't know it was ravioli.
Yeah, well, he was using the wine glass to try to cut the ravioli. Remember, I told you this. So he had the upside down wine glass to cut the circles with the.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
He and pushed down on the stem
and it
broke and went right through his hand.
Gnarly, dude.
Apparently, a fairly common injury of people who try to do that. Don't do that.
Okay.
You don't want to do that. Okay. And then we are moving on to the first course is Texas style chili with cheddar cheese, jalapenos, and corn chips.
That's a Frito pie, my friend. That is yummy.
It's a Frito pie.
It's a Frito pie.
Your main course is your choice of a wood-fired cowboy ribeye or blackened redfish. You're going to get some family style macaroni and cheese, jalapeno creamed corn, soy glazed Brussels sprouts, and chipotle lime roasted sweet potatoes.
And then for dessert, the chocolate chip skillet cookie. Somebody said in the chat, Tim said, Cheesecake Factory vibes. Yeah,
100%. Kind of big. And by the way, yeah, I get Texas is beef country, but we got beef sliders, beef meatballs, beef chili, and steak for dinner.
What about hot beef?
That's a lot of hot beef.
That's a lot
on
of
Scottie
hot
Scheffler's
beef.
Menu.
Hot beef!
It's actually almost the exact same menu as he served 2 years ago, except he put in chili instead of tortilla soup. And pretty much everything. And he added the ravioli.
I can't say anything. Mine would be as basic as it gets, too. I can't say a word. Mine would look fairly similar.
We do it every year. Yeah, what would your menu
be? I'm not turning that down that
menu. Oh, God, no.
That sounds good.
Not turning it down at all. I'm not trying to make people eat a bunch of stuff they probably don't want to eat either. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get fancy. I'm going to get pretty basic. Keep it basic.
This isn't Jose Maria Olazabal serving paella to everybody.
Right, which is good. Paella is yummy, but yeah, man. Did I just say yummy? I sure did.
Yummy.
Sure did.
This is not yummy.
Tell I have little kids.
Wrap it up here. A parking spot in Boston. You can rent out, lease, buy parking spots in major cities. And there is a parking spot in Boston. One single parking spot inside of a garage that just hit the market, and it is going for $750,000.
For how long? Forever?
Forever.
Year?
Until
you die?
I believe it is yours. Like, you own it until you sell it.
Yeah.
The same spot sold 2 years ago for $500,000.
Jeez, dude.
It's in a neighborhood called Beacon Hill, which apparently is an upscale Boston
neighborhood.
And it's around the corner from Boston Common, and it's right next to the famous Cheers Bar. But it's
it's not even near Fenway where you can get a park for Red Sox games
that
for free and
sick.
Stuff.
It's not even just the $750,000. It's actually more because with the spot, you get a $400 a month hit for fees. And then you also have to pay $291 a month in property taxes.
Good God, dude.
For your parking
tiny
spot.
Little slice of heaven.
I mean,
asphalt.
Bro, for $750,000, I'd sleep there.
Fortune
Magazine. Have your friends over, bring a card table.
Fortune Magazine wrote about it. They said the average home in the United States costs just over $400,000.
Yeah.
And one parking spot in Boston is about double that.
Well, that's it.
Hello. Good show, guys.
Two new Tournament of Drops entries for next year. Definitely a good show.
That's a dub.
All right, we will be back tomorrow morning. Braden's coming up next. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Paul Reindl's the executive producer of the program. For Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. From all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.